Welcome to your hometown Whataburger. Here you can add as much flavor as you like.
Those add-ons just add a little extra touch.
It sets Whataburger apart. It takes it up kind of to the next level.
Grilled peppers and onions. Bacon's perfect. Gotta have them grilled jalapenos. It completely changes the taste of the burger.
This burger is made for me, and they're gonna make it just right every time I come.
Avocado goes well with everything. What doesn't it go with?
They say you can't buy happiness, but the add-ons get real close.
We're adding big flavor here at your hometown Whataburger.
Before I deployed to Afghanistan, Whataburger was the last meal I had. And then when I got back, it was my first meal back in the States, and it was the Chop House Cheddar Burger. It was every bit as good as I remembered it to be. My favorite part's the sauce, and then two patties, cheese, sauteed onions, and then the bacon. Who doesn't love bacon? And as soon as you bite into it, you're like, yep, that's what home tastes like. Whataburger's Chop House Cheddar Burger is my all-time favorite.
And we are live on Michael Angley Live. This is March 14th, 2019. And we have so much happening, man. You know what? Every time I look at the news, every time I check it out, I'm like, somebody hack our reality, really? Like, are we really in a matrix? Somebody just hacked our reality with some ridiculous stuff. And stuff that you would never even, couldn't even make up. Couldn't even make up, you know, all the big names of all the people, Stephen King, all these people, their horror stories, couldn't even make. They're not even creative enough to make up the reality that we're witnessing, you know. And it's not just us. It's like all over the world. It's surreal stuff, right? So it's interesting that you got this guy, Beto. You know, his name is O'Rourke. His last name is O'Rourke. They're like putting him out there like he's not an O'Rourke or something. I don't get that. I'm watching this guy talk. He's going to run for president, you know, and really he's basically like, you know, I'm cut out for this job, and oh, this is me, and it's the best thing for our country that I run. It's the best thing for our country that I run. He's talking about a freaking ego problem. But okay, Mr. O'Rourke, he couldn't even beat Ted Cruz in Texas. You know, he faced down Ted Cruz in the election. Didn't even come close. O'Rourke had like three times the amount of money. The Democrats are pumping money into his veins so he can go out there. But guess what? He's not going to get it. You know what? And Joe Biden, he thinks he's going to get it. He's not going to get it. You got Bernie Sanders. He might get it. But if he gets it, he's going to lose it. I don't know. At the end of the end game, they've got to face down Godzilla Trump, right, and deal with that. And if the country's not so bad off, you know, if you don't listen to the rhetoric, and you look at the numbers, and aside from the financial numbers, which they say has not caught up yet, you know, with people going back to work and, you know, getting themselves out of debt, because, you know, you had a lot of years of just poorly run government, you know, and things ran amok. People didn't take the workers into consideration at all. Companies left this country, and then they weren't punished at all to leave the country completely, open up factories in India or China, whatever the hell they go, and then ship their products back for us Americans to buy them, and then we just have to take it. And, you know, you're losing those jobs, you're losing those that tax money, all that stuff. So a lot of years of that, you know, a lot of years of that, of just people looking the other way and not really focusing on what needs to be focused on, you know. So right now you have a big field of Democrats, you know, and they're trying to save the day in their minds. They think that the country's going down to the ground or whatever. They're not looking at the stock market. They're not looking at the jobs and how, you know, a lot of people are back to work. Millions of people are back to work. And, you know, I guess they're happy that people were sitting out of work because they didn't do anything about it. They had Barack Obama in there. They did nothing about it, you know. And then he blames the Republican Senate and he blames the Republican Congress that I couldn't get anything done because of them and whatever. You know what? I freaking hate it when people make excuses for themselves or other people. Just say, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. That's what he should have said. This dude just wanted to be in the White House and party. He had 2 to 3 major parties in that White House per week. And they tried to peddle it off on it's for the arts and whatever. And you have Paul McCartney playing the piano, looking at he and Michelle, and they're sitting there in their tuxedo and, you know, her gown, her $50,000 gown, and drinking champagne. Don't tell me that they're different than everybody else, than all these other politicians, because they're not. They act like a bunch of kings and queens and prince and princesses, you know? But guess what? They are politicians. They are elected representatives. We don't have kings and queens in this country. We got Queen Latifah and we had Prince. No more Prince, you know? But the reality is these people have a problem with their goddamn egos, and they have a problem not seeing the working class American, the backbone of this country, the people who actually support this country, who make things work every day. Not the people sitting there with Paul McCartney singing to them, no. Not the people sitting there on their golf courses for you know, the Mar-a-Lago or whatever, no. The people that actually make a difference in this country every day, the people who show up, first responders, who show up to save your ass when there's a problem. You know what? But it's unbelievable that these politicians are out there battling the way they are. And they're not even bringing up the important issues. You know, they're talking about just a bunch of lip service and all there. Or they're talking about, oh, there's one hating Jews and whatever, man. You know what? That woman, Omar's got a problem. She hates Jews. I'll guarantee she hates Christians too. You know what? She's pre-programmed. Let me tell you about the Islam, man. You know, I have friends who are Muslim, and they are very down to earth, decent people, you know, and with any of these religions, any one of them, you could take things to the mass extreme, and then you can interpret that stuff however you want to interpret it. So you can change it into something terrible and violent. And a lot of people have done that. But in Islam, you know, in the beginning, there was the written word, what people believed in, the word from Muhammad, like, okay, they believed in what he said word for word, you know, a pig is a pig, a horse is a horse. Then there was the people that believed everything said was a metaphor, because this dude talked about, you know, basically aliens coming down, plucking them up and flying them around the world and out in the universe and all that. He has some stories to tell. So either aliens showed up and took him around the world, or it was the Archangel Gabriel that showed up and took him around the world, or he, you know, tripped out him some peyote and it took him around the world. At some point in his mind, he went around the world and he went out in the universe. You know, you can't argue with people when they say that to you. You just have to look at them like, you're a time traveler. Okay. I get it. You know, it's fine because you can't reason with people like that. You can ask them, you know, what's Uranus like, like that, or Jupiter. Something you could ask them, but there's nothing really you can gain from having conversations with people that think that they're time travelers, aside from the fact that we're all time travelers because the clock right now is ticking away. If we weren't flying through time right now, we'd be in a hole in the ground. Even the people in the hole in the ground are still experiencing time in a weird way, right? So anyway, this has become a war between the Pelosi and the Trump, right? And they're trying to put everybody out. And this is just two sides of the same, you know, counterfeit coin, really. These people are not for us. They are for themselves. And I love how they, I know, like with me, when people say, oh, Alexandria Cortez, whatever, I say, let her talk. She's a puppet. They hand-selected her because of her appeal to mass market. She is an advertising tool for the Democratic Party. She didn't run because she wanted to run to change things. She didn't even know that her brother put her out there, that they started looking for their candidates. They had 10,000 people, they said, that they were looking at. This is the Democratic Party, 10,000 people, and they went all the way down to her. And they chose her to replace the guy that was in there who was a Democrat, has been there for multiple years, you know, and they put her out there as a young, smart Latina, this chick who knows all these things and whatever. Yeah, she was a bartender. This your Green New Deal is not her Green New Deal. You know what the Green New Deal is? It's the same as the old Red Deal. You get it? And it's really what it is. There's nothing new about it. There's nothing new about socialism. There's nothing new about communism. There's nothing new about any of it, as a matter of fact. So when I listen to her talk and she's reading these things off, I love it when she goes on a news show and then they start actually asking her questions about the stuff that she's saying and she doesn't have any answers because she doesn't know. She just doesn't know. She has no idea. She's a robot, not even a good robot, a robot that can't remember anything, you know? But it was her appeal. It's a gimmick, an advertising gimmick. It's a sham. If you want to talk about, you know, violation of election laws, that should be, You know, it shouldn't be something that's handpicked by the party that they can put forward. But this is the game that they play. Because the Democrats, they're not concerned about the people in the Democratic Party that have committed rape, that have done all kinds of terrible things, or are racist, or whatever you want to call them. They don't care about that. They care about power. All they care about is Republicans do it, man. But then they care about power. Same for the Republicans. They don't care about these little things. They don't care what the hell you have to live. They care about power. It's all about the power. So obviously, if they care that much about your vote still means something in this world, you know, even though they lie, cheat, and steal to get it. You know, and you can't trust. I was watching all this stuff the other day, and I'm just thinking, man, being a little introspective, right? Looking out there. And you think, why do people lie so much? You know, why do they engage in that type of stuff? And then you look at these experts, right? You have all these news channels, these cable news channels, you know, Fox, CNN, and MSNBC, right? And they all come out with their experts, and they have these panels. I'm like, who are these people anyway? You know, I mean, what experts? What the frick have they ever done that makes them an expert at anything? You know what I mean? And then they give this advice, and they say these things that are totally wrong, that you can easily fact check. You don't even have to think about it. How much of an expert can you be if you're wrong? Is that the expert that you want? The one who's wrong all the time? So it doesn't make me feel good that you have such cutthroats, such big lawyer ball playing cutthroats. The biggest of the big are out there right in front of your face right now. You see in the whole show. It's a big freaking circus happening right in front of you. And it's going to get more crazy. It's going to get more zany. It's going to get more wild. It's going to get to the point where, it's for me, it's already surreal. For me, I try to step back and look at situations and, you know, it's easier to get a view of something when you just step back and take a good look at it. With this stuff, all these people and all the games they're playing, like, you know, like Beto being on the front of Vanity Fair, he says, I'm going to run. Like, he announced his run on Vanity Fair magazine, right? With this sorry, sad-looking dog in the background. Like, this dog kind of looks like he's lost and he wants some food. And here's Beto sitting there. And this is what they're peddling. It's an image. He fits the suit. It's what they want. Is it the right person for the right job, for that job? No, of course not. He doesn't know what he's doing. He couldn't even beat Ted Cruz. Couldn't even take out Grandpa Munster. And he thinks he's going to win 2020 presidential election. Give me a break, you know. And then you have Oprah pushing him. You know, people are tired of Oprah. I got news. People are tired. People tell me, I hate Oprah. And I'm like, oh, why do you hate Oprah so much? And they're like, I don't even know why. They have a whole... There's a whole load of reasons why people don't like Oprah. I don't mind Oprah Winfrey. I know what she is. So if you know what something is, you don't build it up. You know, I don't have expectations, man. You know, I try to live life with no expectations. This way, you're not so disappointed if, you know, things don't work out or something. But, you know, limited expectations, we'll say. With Oprah, I have no expectations. I know that she's a media hound. She is a media hound. She loves it. Loves the spotlight. Loves the media. Now she's getting on in years, and she's kind of slowing down a little bit and using her power, her media power, to put people forward. She put Barack Obama forward. Remember, it was supposed to be Hillary, and she bumped Hillary right out of the way, body checked her out of the way, put Obama out there. Well, it was Obama. He was a senator who never voted yes or no on anything. He voted present, basically, never took a stand. He had a community organizer in Chicago and a long, weird, sordid history, right? He couldn't even determine where the hell the guy was from, let alone all the other stuff. So, what difference does it make? It happened, you know, maybe the future. In the future, they start uncovering stuff. You know, once you get beyond the death of all these people, then that's when the truth will come out. It'll be long after we're dead. The truth will come out and be like, oh, yeah, they all lied. And, you know, the terrible stuff. And it was this duped and whatever. So good. But the Democratic Party paints themselves as a party for the people. The Republican Party paints themselves as a party for everybody. And I just don't see it out of either one of them, honestly. You know, I'm not seeing the unity and people trying to get people to come together in this country and or the world. You know, we have a lot to lose. So they can't even figure out about the border. You know, you got Democrats saying open borders. You know, Obama wasn't even for that. None of those guys. Bill Clinton wasn't even for that, you know? And I don't mind Bill Clinton as the president. I think he's probably the best president we've had in a long damn time. And that's a statement in of itself, right? You got Kamala Harris, you know, they're pushing her. You got the strong black woman, Kamala Harris. I love how they say that. First of all, who cares if she's black? And who cares that she's a woman? The, by their own very definition about being, you know, gender biased or whatever, or racist or color, by their own definition, that you would include their like ethnicity and then their sex in that statement. Strong black woman. The hell difference does it make? It shouldn't make any difference in the world. It should be like, hey, can she do the job? So she's out there talking about all kinds of crazy stuff. And let me tell you, man, you don't go full retard. You get what I'm saying? You don't go full retard. You can go partly retard, and people will forgive that. Elon Musk, he didn't go full retard. He went partly retard. Now people started to forgive him. He smoked a little bit of weed. He laughed about some stuff. Tesla not doing so well. But he's got SpaceX. He's got all this stuff. He's been docking stuff in space. He's got amazing technology. That's cool. That's great. You know, but Kamala Harris went full retard. She starts talking about smoking weed and doing crazy stuff and whatever, and you know, just basically, it's all out. Hey, let's have all the immigrants come here and let's, you know, just open up our borders. The stuff that she said, freaking ridiculous. And you tell that she's just going on the flow of this Cortez and the hoopla that the media created around her, because Cortez is a complete media creation. She's a living media golem, you know. She's out there as this Frankenstein running around, doesn't know what the hell she talk about, putting out this line, putting out that line, Green New Deal and whatever. They don't even know what the hell they're talking about. They don't even know what the hell. But Kamala Harris, if you want to know Kamala Harris, follow the money. Look who supports her. Look who's behind her, right? So good. She already screwed herself. She went full retard talking about even her father. You know, she's like, you know, talking about weed. Well, come on, man. I'm from Jamaica. Jamaicans love weed. Hey, man, don't be saying that about Jamaica. You know, not everyone smoking weed in Jamaica. But she thinks so. You know, in her mind, she made a stupid joke. But that's the deal. See, so let's talk about the stupid joke. But what's offends people? Because back in the day, you could make all the stupid jokes you want to your friends, each other, and whatever. And nobody got angry. People weren't offended. They didn't take it like that. Now, since the media is just pounded away for such a long time now, turn everything into an offense. Everything's offensive. No matter what the hell it is, everything's an offensive, right? So, really? Really? And this is the world that you guys want to be part of? This is what you want? And then I think that people don't, you know, I think that people don't. And then now we see how much power the media really has, how much power Google has, right? How much power Facebook has, things like that, anti-social media. Facebook went down yesterday. People couldn't get on there. They were like flipping. People were flipping. They're like ready to jump out of windows because they couldn't get on Facebook. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Facebook? I go on there to advertise stuff, talk to high school friends, other people here and there. I don't have all day to putter around on Facebook or any of that stuff for that matter. You post a stupid picture of the cat or dog and, you know, that's pretty much the day. You know what I mean? But if you're going to sit there, and people do, people will blurt their whole life out on Facebook. They say the most secretive stuff about their lives, stuff they would never tell anybody in person. You know, that's the funny part. They would never tell an investigator this, you know, because I am one, and people clam up when you start talking to them, you know, and they don't tell anybody anything. And then on Facebook, here's all these people, strangers or not, and they're just letting loose, you know, and you know, basically the color of their poop from that day. And you're like, oh, I had too much information on that. I think you should stop. just stop. Then you get the people with the memes. I like a meme. I like a funny meme. I do a Monday meme. That's me, man. Monday meme. I try not to put it to stuff because memes are kind of weird. But the problem with these things is that most of them are very common and most of them are the same. And then when people come out with them and then five or six or seven friends share the same one, you're like, eh. Then you start getting into the world of repetitiveness and glut. Because actually on the news stream, I like to see what other people are doing. I don't have that many people on there, like 800 something people. But I mean, I try to talk to everybody during the year at least, and then keep up on things, especially important moments and whatever. You know? That's what it's for. It's what it's supposed to be for. But then people have to get on there. People are always looking to be antagonistic, have some kind of fight, some kind of war, and beat each other's brains out through cyberspace, right? And all for what? You can argue to a point for Trump. Him, really? He wouldn't argue the point for you. Trump is his own, I don't know, what's a good word for him? Entity. How's that? He's his own zip code, man. He's his own thing. This dude, the one thing you have to respect about Trump, and I don't say a lot of good stuff about Trump, right? The policy, fine. I believe in border security, yeah. There's a lot of stuff that I believe in. There's a lot of stuff I don't believe in. You know, but I'm very middle of the road, so I really don't take sides. And I got a feeling like he's actually pretty middle of the road. I don't see him as much. He's definitely not a conservative like Pence. You know, that dude's like night and day. And people want Trump out of there. You put Pence in. Pence wants to put electrodes on gay guys' balls and hook them up and try to make them straight. You know what I mean? So I think that there's something there to that. If you know, get rid of Trump and you stuck with, you know, stuck with Pence, even though I don't have a problem with Pence ultimately, and probably a lot of gay guys pay a lot of money for that in certain situations. So I don't know, it could all work out, but I don't know. I'm just trying to feel my way through all of this. But really, the reality is Trump is a monster, a big one, and you got to be able to face a dude like that down in 2020. You got to be able to be on the same stage as him. Now people who face him down sort of have an advantage because you can check Trump out at the way he goes, you know, when he was campaigning and the whole bit, going after Hillary. It was funny as hell. It was funny as hell. It was pure entertainment, better than any reality TV, those debates, man. And just watching Hillary, like, sit there like a mannequin as he's got this verbal baseball bat and he's beating her over the head because she's such a dirty, lying, thieving person, you know? And then there it is. He wins. She gets all deplorable and then call people names, putting them down. They're still doing that. They still call people names, putting them down. Trump supporters still calling them KKK and all that. All the people that they have gone after, even that kid from the Catholic school, you know, that had some crazy Indian in his face. And then, you know, that kid kept his composure. He was all right. Let me tell you something. Back in the day in Long Island, you get in someone's face, start beating a drum, you're going to end up vertical on the ground. You know what I mean? So, or horizontal. So, you know what? The reality is, this is the reality. You want to know what the reality is? That people have to stop being offended by everything. People have to say, hey, I don't care. I'm in my own private space in my brain where these guys are going to just spout off. And who cares what someone likes and what they don't like? Who cares what their opinion is? Everybody has one, an opinion, right? And, you know, no one's opinion is more valid than somebody else's opinion unless they're going crazy with some kind of false information. And there's a lot of that out there. There's a lot of false narratives that are being pushed, you know, by the media and by these politicians, the ones that we're supposed to be able to trust. And you can't trust them. Like back to those experts, you can't trust what they say. You can't do it. All you can do is say, I don't know, you know, and just kind of take care of your own family, take care of your own life. You live your life and you don't let this stuff get to you to the point where it stresses you out, where you can't function. There's a lot of people out there that can't function because of this nonsense. So, you know, you had a long time for Democrats saying, oh, impeach, impeach, impeach. We got to impeach Trump. You know, Maxine Waters, impeach, impeach, impeach. They all had their song. Maxine Waters, you ever look at her background, how dirty she is? She was voted the most corrupt politician in the United States of America like 4 years in a row. She's dirty, dirty as the day is long. And here she is, you know, wrapping herself with the flag, saying impeach, impeach, impeach. What are you going to impeach Trump for? Making liberals cry? That's not an offense, you know? That's their problem. They got emotional problems, man. You know what I mean? And then unrealistic. Everything they're talking about, unrealistic. So Pelosi right now is just trying to hold on to the House because she, you know, this Cortez has got a lot more headlines than Pelosi, and then they're at war. The younger Democrats are at war with the old dinosaurs in the party that have been there for decades and accomplished nothing. They have accomplished no goals. They same thing for the GOP. I want you to show me the politicians out there and what their record is. Actually, they've done something for people, you know? So Trump just takes the beating and keeps on going. And he doesn't let it affect him. And I think that's a lesson for a lot of people, that there's a place that you can go to ignore these people. Because if someone doesn't like you, they're not going to say nice things about you. They're not going to say nice things to you. So why listen to it? Why listen to them? You know, what difference does it make what the hell they think? It doesn't make any difference. You know, I referenced that text message I got from that woman who started laying into me about Hillary Clinton. You know what I mean? And I didn't even mention freaking Hillary Clinton. I talked about that judge who was a Republican in Alabama who was accused of like molesting these girls. This is nothing. I actually just said it was from the book of Hillary, something like that. And then the whole sour grapes tour that she did. But I said that was all I said, the book of Hillary. This woman's like on this big, long, I didn't even read the damn thing. It was like pages long, this rant about how Hillary misunderstood or whatever. That's the first line I saw. And I said, I don't care. You know, like, I don't care what you think. What the hell I don't care what your opinion. What the hell difference does it make to me? I don't even know you. I don't know you, you know. I don't even know where this you came from. So why should I care about what the hell people think if they're not people that actually love me, that have some kind of concern or caring, you know, and they can add something tangible, that's different. I'm talking about people who don't like you, you know, they're not there. They're like demons. They're not there to help you. They're there to plague your life. They're there to make you feel bad. So that's freaking social media. It's turned into anti-social media. It's turned into a button-pushing mentality so people can just be angry and say what they want, stuff that they would never, ever, never, never, ever say to your face. And then they're going to say all this stuff and go on their tangent and whatever, all for what? How much free time do you really have where you sit there and go into some crazy thing defending some dirty freaking politician that wouldn't even walk across the street to save you for nothing? So people's loyalty is misguided. You have loyalty to that flag. You don't have loyalty for these politicians, especially the ones who lie and cheat and steal that are out there. They're out there. They're right there in your face, as a matter of fact. And then they lie to you more and they try to get you on their side and gain numbers. And some people do. They believe in it, right? You ever see Trump talk to a large audience? He's just comfortable now, you know? You know, I'll tell you this. When it comes down to loyalty, and then this guy uses all the buzzwords, loyalty and love and all that, in a room full of thousands of people. There's not a lot of people that are into public speaking to begin with. And even the ones that are, you know, think about the actors, the musicians, the people who are used to being in front of large numbers of people. Most politicians aren't even used to being in front of large numbers of people. You know, I mean, it depends on the level, right? But here's Trump in front of thousands of people. And he's like hanging out like in their living room, talking, having a conversation. He talked for 2.5-3 hours at CPAC, just sitting there having a conversation. So the media like CNN and all that, and they're all like, oh, he was rambling and babbling like a maniac. And that's what they got out of it. I actually watched it and I didn't see that part. I didn't see where watched the whole thing. I didn't see where he was rambling and babbling like a maniac. I saw that he was very comfortable in talking about the accomplishments so far, talking about the direction of the country and the ideas, right? Also, how important border security is, how important it is to know who's coming over and why and when. And the fact that we naturalize over 1 million people a year in this country, so it's not like you're keeping people out. So, yeah, there's all that. And then there's the other side that's going to push against that. It's just the fact that they, when they say such crazy stuff, I'm not sure who they're trying to win over, right? Because if you're a middle-of-the-road voter, and that's the way I consider myself, You know, I'm actually very middle of the road. And I'm also a realistic person to think, okay, who's good for the job? You know, when Al Gore ran, there was no way I could have voted for Al Gore because I don't respect the person, or I don't respect his whole direction. I don't like anything about the guy, as a matter of fact. But the fact that Bush got in, look at the direction the country went. Look at 9/11. Look at the things that have happened. You know, can you sit there and say that if Al Gore had gotten in, that 9/11 would have never have happened? You know, I mean, a lot of people in the Republican Party were blaming, you know, Bill Clinton for 9/11, even though it was fully 9 months after all that had happened, right? After the election and the whole bid, and Bush had got in office. So whatever, man. 8 months time altogether. So what happened in that 8 months that it was Bill Clinton's fault that 9/11 happened? You know, I put together all the info and I look at all the possibilities. Bill Clinton was a dude who over-obsessed about counterterrorism. If I tell you that this guy knew where Osama bin Laden was all of the time, he did. You know, they knew where he was in Africa when they were training the Al-Qaeda and all those other people. They knew where he was in Pakistan. They knew his movements. They knew, you know, all that. Okay. 9/11 happened. They knew that Osama bin Laden was in Tora Bora. They waited a whole month, a little more than a month, to go after him. While all the military was saying to Bush, you know, we can get him right now. We know where he is right now. I understand the guy left the area with his bodyguards in some luxury vehicles, man, and went right over the border like it was nothing. So there's a lot of things, a lot of questions that have to be answered about that, you know. And I lost good friends in 9/11, people I grew up with in Rockville Center, Long Island. And then it just makes you think about the numbers, statistics, who's counted, who's not counted, you know. I mean, think of all those firefighters who selflessly ran into that building, you know, and not because it was their job, because that was the people that they are. They ran to that building to save those lives, you know, and get people out best they could. Same for the police officers, right? And then you think about the real people out there. Then you think about these politicians with their lies and excuses and making more excuses for each other and all the stuff. So whatever, man. You know, I know that I call a war, you know, and I'm not going to make any excuses about that, you know, for these politicians, because a lot wrong was done. But I don't want to sit here talking about 9/11. I'm going to sit here and talk about this battle that just needs to stop between these politicians. But they won't. These Democrats are happy to destroy the country, to destroy Trump. And if you know that about them and you know what the deal is, then I don't think that you can ever give them any kind of real power. I mean, they took the House back. They took the House back not because people want Democrats in there. It was because of those individual races and the people who were running, you know, the small town races. So think about that. And then they take so much credit, you know, and Nancy Pelosi is just sticking her chest out. A mighty chest it is. She's sitting there saying, you know, I did this and we did this. We're going to stop Trump and have all this stuff. Now they're investigating obstruction and that type of thing. I wish they would go after other people like that. I'm not saying don't investigate. As an investigator, I love an investigation, man. But I'm saying that there's other people that are out there that really, if you look at the information, just the evidence in the freaking media, you're going to say that these people have a lot of problems when it comes to obeying the law, like a Hillary Clinton. Right? But not just her. So people in the FBI acted improperly. People all through the government acted improperly, especially under Barack Obama. Barack Obama acted improperly. So, you know, I'm not going to be Mr. Vindictive, but no one's above the law. No one. And then if you live like that and you understand that and we enforce the Constitution like we should be, then we wouldn't be letting these people lie to us and cheat us and take advantage of us. We would be holding them accountable for the things that they've done or haven't done, right? So I'll tell you, man. Yeah, that Facebook outage. And it's very interesting that they're denying it was some kind of this SSOD attacker, you know, basically a denied access attack, right? So let's say you have, I don't know if you know about hacking and you know about a bot attack, what where a hacker takes control of your computer, you don't even know it, and they use your computer, they use some of your bandwidth or whatever to direct it to do other things. So a bot attack is when multiple computers, they'll have a million or 2 million computers under their belt, literally, and they use them all to attack one thing, one server, and try to sign in or get in there. And as all these computers do that, they flood it, and then the computer, the server basically shuts down because it can't handle the volume, right? So this, people couldn't get access to Facebook or any of the apps that they own, Instagram or any of that stuff. But Google was also down, and they're denying that was any kind of denied access attack. But I'll tell you, when it comes to cybersecurity, people are losing the battle. They're losing the battle for their privacy. Bad enough you have major corporations selling your information every day, every minute, every second of the day. They're circulating around. They tell you that they don't, but they really do. And then bad enough you have that. But then coupled with the fact that you have a government that really has no information policy to speak of. They sort of do, but they really don't. And then the people who are doing the hacking, the people who are doing all this stuff, they're not ever even held accountable because most of them don't live in this country. India, North Korea, Russia, you know, Italy, it doesn't matter where they are, Africa. There's offices dedicated with computer programmers and these people who hack all the time. They're dedicated hackers. That's their job. They go there in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning to hack, and they leave there at 5 o'clock, and that's it. And their whole job all day long is try to hack into systems. And they do. And you see all these scams that happen. People get taken advantage of all the time. But at some point, the vulnerabilities are going to be with your power systems, are going to be with your airliners. It's going to be where things that you can hack into and change program or stop program or whatever to effect a change. So, you know, then you get these Boeing planes that have gone down. A couple have gone down in the past month. One hit in Ethiopia, made a big hole in the ground, right? And they said, the whole thing is weird. And Boeing comes out and, you know, keep in mind, corporations never, ever admit guilt, man. I mean, you have to go long and far. You drag them through court and deal until they admit guilt. These guys are saying, well, it's a computer glitch, you know. You know, hundreds of people died. Well, it's a computer glitch, you know. We buggered it up. It's a computer glitch. I'll tell you, it's not. I think it's more than that. And I think that they're just trying to cover it up. Now, I'm not trying to be some conspiracy nut either, but I know the world of hacking, and I know how easy it is. Easy. If I told you how easy it was to hack into your computer right now or your phone and how to do it, I'd be arrested because hacking is highly illegal, right? You know, even though the best hackers get hired by the government to go in there and try to stop the other hackers. But, you know, it's not even the hackers having this unbelievable knowledge, right? It's about the programs that they use that has unbelievable knowledge. And this all started when programs from the National Security Agency got loose on the dark web, got circulated, and then millions of hackers around the world downloaded that software. So you can go and use it as a keylogger or whatever you want to use, a Trojan horse. You can do all kinds of stuff, you know? You can send someone a virus, basically, that comes across their computer as like a serial port connection so that the computer thinks it's a keyboard or it thinks it's a mouse. Meanwhile, bang, you're in the system, you know. And then there's a lot of times I'm in a store and I see that a store or a business or whatever, and they have an open computer with USB ports. You know, you can buy some little rabbit and then stick it right in there, USB, a thumbnail drive, and basically you're in their system. You go past their security, you're in the system, and download everything in their system in a matter of seconds. It's probably between, you know, 10 to 20 seconds by the time you connect. 6 or 7 seconds to connect. The rest of it is to download all the bits they have, whatever you can fit on your thumbnail. That's how easy it is. And it's almost impossible to stop. I see people all the time getting nailed at gas stations, you know, when they have these readers. And then it doesn't look like a normal card reader. It looks like something, a card reader stuck on top of the other card reader. So when you go to a gas station or an ATM and there's one of these boxes in there, you know, fiddle with it, grab it, see if you can pull it off because these glue them on. So see if you can pull it off, you know, like don't deface an ATM machine or whatever, or a gas pump, but just be smart about where you're putting your card, or use cash. cash is king. You know that? Cash and carry. And then you don't have to worry about your information or nothing. So with all these credit card companies and all these information reporting companies and all these companies out there, all these financial companies, they have your card, your information, your credit cards, your whatever card, your debit card, whatever you got, right? Do they guarantee the safety of that card? No. Oh, why not? Oh, they want you to use LifeLock. So the second you get nailed, now you have to go and use LifeLock. A service that you have to buy and then include a whole bunch of new people on your private information. You ever get people on the phone from a LifeLock or other companies or your local cable company? And then, you know, you detect a little accent or whatever and you ask them, you know, where are you? Oh, we are not allowed to say. Really? And I get them talking and they tell me they're in the Philippines, a place like that. And, you know, then you ask them, you know, what does it take to get a job there? Oh, you show up, apply, you get job, no background. So you can just show up. Let's say that you're a thief and you want to go work for one of these companies and access their computer. That's your job, is to hack, you know? Bang, you got a job. You're in front of a computer. So now you have millions of customers, names, numbers, financial information, addresses, everything that you need to build a profile on those people. So you can steal their identity, use it for all kinds of stuff, purchases or whatever. There's people that have taken out mortgages on houses and then have sold the house or whatever. You know, some states you can do that. It's just crazy, right? So why doesn't the bank guarantee your privacy? Since, you know, and then whatever you deal with a financial institution, you should ask for their information policy. You know, get their information officer and ask for their information policy and what their whole policy is. Because that's the deal. Your name is out there. There's nothing private anymore. You're out there. In fact, things are becoming even more intrusive. Because look at automobiles. And then now the new cars track everywhere you go. They keep a record of everything. Even if you speed now, the cars that are smart cars, you know, if you speed and whatever, they make a note of all of that, man. So I read an interesting article the other day on how these car companies now are putting these little boxes of it's really a high level frequency and it scans you as you drive and the whole contents of your car, you and everything. So it knows where you go, what you do, basically what you're eating in the car and everything basically, you know. So why do people want that? And what's the advantage of that? You know, I mean, maybe if you get into an accident, if someone steals your car, you want something, some protection there. But why would you want your own car turned to a spy? And here are these people signing, you know, clicking the box saying, I agree. Throw my privacy out the window. Same thing when you use apps, the Facebook app or the Instagram app. You ever see the permissions for that? And if you click no, you can't use the app. You click yes, you're giving away all these stuff for your phone. Your phone records, your text records, all that. You're giving it all up. Your microphone and your camera. So then there's people talking about, I talked about this on the last week's show a little bit, how this one guy was having a conversation with his friend about traveling to a certain place, and then he wanted to buy some cheap shirts and whatever to take with him. It's just going to be like a party type of place, you know, go crazy. All of a sudden, he starts getting all these ads on his phone, in email and on his phone. You know, you put on Facebook or whatever, and ads pop up, and those ads are you know, basically designed for you to see. Either stuff you've already checked out, or the stuff that you're thinking of, like, you know, just doing searches for things and whatever, you know, or just thinking about it. Like you put something in the search line, it still logs that. So whatever, this guy starts getting all these messages, but he didn't do a search by hand. He didn't type anything in. He just talked this, you know, he talked to his friend and it picked up the audio. So right now with your cell phone, all the apps on there, like we'll say Instagram and Facebook, a lot of them Facebook apps, you know, but, you know, Twitter, they all do it now. They all utilize your microphone on your cell phone to look for keywords that you're saying. So, wow, talk about spying on the highest level, that they're basically data collecting and then data mining information so they can design ads that are better suited to shoot at you. But then the article went on to talk about if they were used in any kind of court case. You know, what if their threats were made and they were used, or, you know, something was taken the wrong way? And I remember NSA back in the day, used to have these programs on telephone lines where if people said, you know, three words, Libya bomb terrorist or something, it would start recording them and then, you know, get a line on them, basically start building a file, you know, and a lot of times it's bunk and then it's useless information. And keep in mind, the National Security Agency doesn't have enough analysts on hand to start analyzing what 330 million Americans are saying, plus anybody and anybody, right? Only the people they decide to follow. But if they want a data mine, that information is there. And these companies are happy to share the information with these other companies. So it's just something you should think about. You know, it's a dangerous loss of privacy. You know, and it's not even necessarily that you're sitting there plotting death or you're going to rob a bank or, you know, do some horrible act. It's not even that. It's about your privacy. And, you know, it's not that they should do it because they can do it. They said they shouldn't do it because you have rights. And although they say, well, people click yes on the box and they can share the information, that's how they get you. That's how they get you. And you're at the center of the whole thing, right in your pocket. You know, your little device is watching you. And, you know, you hear people like laugh and they say, my, you know, my microwave is watching me or whatever. Yeah, the new ones, they all have little cameras. Refrigerators have cameras and screens now, like a computer in your fridge. How the hell do you need a computer in your fridge? You know, I like that fridge that you hit the button and like the glass kind of like, you know, turns. It goes from like black to like see-through glass and you can see what's in there without opening the door. That's kind of cool. But I don't want my appliances monitoring me, you know, judging my life, you know, laughing at me and stuff. I don't need that. Or people got their Alexa and whatever. And what's that other one? There's a few of them. Siri is another. And you hear them like talking to them like it's a person. You carry it on. There's a weird movie with a dude like fell in love with his phone or whatever. Would take it to movies and that type of thing. Yeah, people are out there. They're doing that. It's actually damn sad, but, you know, and then you get into social media and how it's destroying kids' lives. I read every day articles every day on how teens are the most that are suffering, but adults too. You know, when people are like, oh, I'm so mad that this person said this about Burr. What the hell are you mad at? Laugh at them. Just take a laugh. Have a good laugh at them, man. Yeah. And then, of course, Israel got attacked earlier by whatever. Rockets fired at Tel Aviv, first since 2014, but 2014 is not that long ago. Israel has a lot of problems. They have a lot of political problems, and then they're basically surrounded by people that hate them to begin with, and then they feel like they shouldn't have a state, and there's a grudge match going on, and it's going to be going on. Then you get Bibi. He's running, you know? The opposition party is saying all things about him. He's saying that's all wrong. They're going after his wife for food, that she spent too much on food or embezzled food or something, she ate too much. And then they're saying he's crooked, the whole bit. Now he's floating marijuana to Israel, saying I'll legalize marijuana. I guess some marijuana mots is going on there. So like, I like how they use the weed to like Cuomo did that, you know? Like, they kind of use the weed. They'll blow the smoke in your face and say, hey, if you want this, vote for us. Put us in, you know, we'll legalize the weed. So, but there's problems, man. And Israel's got a ton of problems with Iran. And I think that Iran's got a ton of problems with Israel. You know, as a matter of fact, I don't think that Iran even understands Israel. You know, the people that underestimate Israel may be the size of New Jersey, but they pack a powerful punch and they also have us backing them up, plus a whole bunch of others, you know. So, but Iran, they don't like us anyway. You know, these people, right before they pray to their God, they chant death to America and death to Israel. So this is what they do. And it's just, it's perverted. That whole thing, you know, I mean, before you pray, you wish death all over people that you don't even know, right? And the anti-Semitism around the world, there's a lot of it. You know, it's happened before, you know. History repeats itself. I think people forget about these things, you know? So, and big headline, that porn, there's a porn surge with socially deprived users. You know what I mean? So, and then, you know, you have a place like England looking on April 1st to block porn, free porn. So people either have to pay the government to get it, or they have to get a card with your name and number and your thumbprint and the whole bit, your DNA, basically, to admit that you watch porn and what you're watching, you know? And it's just a big brother push, whether you believe in porn or not. If it's something that's legal and it's out there, the government shouldn't be monitoring what the hell you do. Oh, and making a profit from it. And let me tell you, Britain, England, the Brits have a lot of problems right now. They got Theresa May. She didn't know what the hell she's doing. And then I think that they got to start there. And they're trying to – her no deal was no deal with you know, the whole Brexit thing. So now they might postpone Brexit for another couple of years. And this is kind of what the people that didn't want Brexit, the big powerful people, this is how they play that game. This is how they do it, man. They're going to sit there and they're going to say, doesn't matter. We'll wait. We'll wait. Doesn't matter. You know, and the longer they push it out, the more they push it out, the longer they wait, the more you're going to have the people that don't want the Brexit, you know, and then it's not going to happen. So, but basically, England's got a lot of issues, and I love it, because for so long, I've heard them criticize us, you know, people who are English, like, you know, America's this, America's that, and hey, man, we all got our own problems, and they all seem to be politically, you know, oriented. I mean, this is what we've got. So, and then, of course, mental health problems rise significantly among young people. And don't you see a connection between the cell phone, the social apps, you know, things like Xanax drugs that a lot of teens are abusing Xanax? There's a whole big connection that's there. You know, how a lot of young people now need glasses more than ever because they're staring at these little tiny screens. And we were young, you know, your mother tell you, hey, don't sit close to the TV. It's got radiation. It's not good for your eyes, not good for you. Now people take the screen and put it right in their face and they got it all day long, especially young people. If you've ever seen 5 or 6 young people gathered together, that's all they do is stare at their screen. They don't look at each other. They don't talk to each other like that. They'll like sit there next to each other and text each other and not even talk. Some weird stuff. So I think that it's going to be a bigger problem in the future. I think it's going to be a bigger problem than cigarettes, you know, and thinking, and back in the day, I like to prove things to people, me personally, and I have all kinds of like meters and devices that show electromagnetic fields or radiation and stuff like that. So when I take my little EMF meter, which is electromagnetic field meter, which is basically just a meter that actually is used as a tool by people to measure electromagnetic radiation and frequency, you know, that's all it is. I put it next to my phone. That thing will spike 90, 100, you know. So, I mean, at 40, it's dangerous for human consumption. When you get it, so the red light goes on and starts beeping, man. And that's your phone. That's the thing that's in your pocket that you hold to your head. I never hold my cell phone to my head, you know. I mean, 99.9% chance, never. You know, on the 1% chance that I have to is when you have to. But, and then now, again, 250 scientists came out saying, well, if you use this Bluetooth headgear, it could cause cancer. And I've been saying that for years. And it's not I'm some super psychic. I'm going by the evidence. I'm going by the increase of cancer since cell phones became into heavy use. I'm going by the use, the cancer increases, the brain tumors increase. You know, now you have a school that's got 4 children that have cancer, you know, and they're saying because there's a cell tower outside. The school makes $2,000 a month from the cell tower. They're not willing to shut it down. They don't think that cell tower caused cancer in these kids because they said, well, it's beyond the frequency and, you know, it's not a wide area network. So there's a WAN, there's a LAN. A LAN's a local area network, which is limited to 30, 40, 50 feet. A WAN is a wide area network, which is about 30 miles in any direction from the source, right? But they lied and they're wrong about it. And let me tell you, if you want to know why the honeybees are dying and how the honeybee deaths started to coincide with use of cell towers, I think that you can definitely make a case for those types of frequencies that destroy things, destroy cells, and or change behavior in animals too. They found that with birds. They found that with all kinds of things, anything that made a nest near that. So that's something to consider. I don't have any more time to go into that. We'll talk about that again. But yeah, cell towers, dangerous. Don't think that they're not. If you don't believe me, get an EMF meter and hold it in your hand and see what happens. And then it's not magic. It's happening because there's enough radiation coming off of that that's going to damage your body. So I'll leave you guys with that. This is Michael Angley of Michael Angley Live on United Public Radio Network, UPRN, talkradio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 in Paz Christian, saying goodbye, y'all. See you next week.
See you in the evening time.
There you go.
Get excited, Whataburger fans. Our one-of-a-kind mushroom Swiss burger is back.
If you love mushrooms, you're going to love this burger.
Two patties, two slices of Swiss cheese, two layers of mushrooms. These mushrooms are beautiful.
It's a really good balance between hearty and savory. That au jus sauce on top.
The creamy au jus sauce. It really sets it apart.
Just adds flavor that makes you go, wow. It is just absolutely amazing.
It's not just a mushroom Swiss burger. It's a Whataburger mushroom Swiss burger. Here for a limited time.
Today at Whataburger, we're cooking the sweet and spicy bacon burger.
You can't beat it. It's hot, it's fresh.
The sweet and spicy bacon burger is my all-time favorite.
I love this burger. It's just perfect.
Two beef patties, two different types of cheese, caramelized onions. My favorite thing about this burger is the sweet and spicy pepper sauce and the bacon.
The sweet and spicy bacon burger is an all-time favorite at Whataburger.
That's happiness.